Shoujo fans! Welcome to episode 20 of Shoujo Sunday. This week is the second and final part of our review of the 1995 Studio Ghibli film Whisper of the Heart. Let's dig in. Shoujo fans, it is Editing Gianna here. This week, we're going to kick off the episode with a word from our fellow podcast friend, Black People Love Paramore.
Black people love the band Paramore. We're all aware of it. It's like an accepted truth. But it made me wonder, what other seemingly random things do large groups of Black people love? So in an effort to help Black people feel more seen through community, I compiled a list of other things groups of Black people overwhelmingly like and started my podcast called Black People Love Paramore. Every episode, I talk about one thing that groups of Black people like that mainstream media doesn't necessarily associate with Black people, but we know we like. Episode topics so far include anime, astrology, Tony Hawk, Ariana Grande, Twitter, Ginger Ale, Cash App, and a whole lot more. If that sounds like you, check it out. It's called Black People Love Paramore, and you can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Hey folks, so if you're interested in hearing all of the things we liked about the film and also the things we're banana split about, check out episode 19. We're just going to pick up right where we left off last week, going straight into our Rocky Road segment, so it's about to get really emotional over here. And I've been a little extra sensitive lately, so I was just tearing up left and right watching this film for some reason. I don't know if you felt the same way, Chica, at all.
Yeah, I feel like I really needed to see this film.
Yeah.
I don't know. It feels like it just really balanced me out. And then the times that I did cry was just like, oh, okay, I needed to see this film and I needed to have this little cry session.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like sad crying. It was just like overcome with emotions I didn't realize I was feeling crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for me, the first part of the movie that made me tear up was when Shizuku is chasing the cat around town and she loses sight of him. She goes, "Aw," and it felt like the start of a story. And I just found myself tearing up at that line.
Aww.
Like I said, I've just been like a little extra sensitive lately. I don't know if it was like the recent Mercury retrograde or whatever, but there have just been countless times in my life where I had that same exact thought, like word for word, whether it was something as simple as like losing sight of a cat or like my overactive imagination or a connection with someone not working out. So just hearing that verbatim thought I've had so many times in my life explicitly articulated right before me just gave me a lot of feelings.
Yeah, well, you know something? That scene didn't make me cry, but I definitely resonate with how you feel about hearing that. But one story that sometimes I think about, in 2019, I went to my very first, like, San Diego Comic-Con, which it's like, if you have anxiety being in very crowded places, your anxiety would be over the roof because it just feels like everybody is all in one place. Everyone is walking to the same place. And at first, like, it's kind of exciting because you think maybe you'll see a celebrity or whatever and stuff. But like, at the same time, it's just a lot because it's like, will I be able to make it to certain panels? Will I be able to do this or to do that? And so at the time, I had started flirting with one of my favorite YouTubers at the time. So this is a juicy scoop, guys. So I started like flirting with one of my favorite YouTubers at the time, and they were pretty big back then. I'm sure that they've hit a million by now. And he lived in Los Angeles, and San Diego Comic-Con is in San Diego, obviously. So after he finished doing work, he like drove down like 3 hours to come see me.
Ooh.
Right? Which is like very...
That's a lot.
Dedication, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So drove down to like come and see me, and and we had a really good time. We like went out to eat. We actually ended up running into one of his like colleagues and we said hi, and it was just fun. And I feel like we ended up walking for a very like long period of time and just talking about the con and talking about life and everything. And then he drove me back to my hotel. I was sharing it with people, so like no hanky panky or whatever. And then we kissed. And then I guess that was it. And then before I saw him again, and this was ended up being the last time I saw him, which was like October, and it was for Demon Days, because Gorillaz, the band, they put on this festival called Demon Days, and they would have all these different music acts show up and everything. And so I really thought that this relationship was going to be something, and it actually didn't pan out post that trip. But in the middle of that, well, we were still like, you know, messaging each other all the time. He told me that when we met, it was like this movie. There's this movie called Before Sunrise, and it's like just about these two very different people that meet up, and then they spend time with each other and they sort of start falling in love. And it's like, I was very much in my feelings. I was just like, wow, like that means so much to hear something like that. And like I said, you know, post that second trip to actually straight to Los Angeles or whatever, it didn't pan out. But sometimes I think about the fact that he had said that, and I'm just like, oh, like this really could have been the start of something.
Aww.
But yes, end of tangent.
So. Oh my gosh. I'm like, wow. Yeah, that really is like the beginning of a story.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry it didn't work out.
Sometimes I think about it and I'm just kind of sad. But I mean, it didn't end like positive. Like, oh. It didn't end. Yeah.
Oh.
No, it didn't end positively.
Damn, I'm sorry.
I mean, it's sort of, it is what it is, you know? I feel like after a certain point, I thought that it was going to be something, and then it wasn't. And so there are just times when I think about it, because that like phrase, or comparing the start of what could have been this really great love story to this iconic film, meant a lot. And so it's just like, oh, okay, well, you know, it's like, this could have been the start of something. It didn't work out though, but it could have been. But yeah, so I resonate with what you felt about that.
Yeah, wow. I guess I'll reel it back really quick to Rocky Road. This one, okay, so I was again taken by surprise at myself tearing up against my will when Grandpa Nishi and his friends joined Seiji and Shizuku in their basement music session. It was so sweet. I had this moment where I was like, this here is what life is all about.
Yeah.
Great times with people, connecting with one another, and with it being through music spoke to my soul directly. Like, it's so silly. I'm like thinking about it and it's like, I want to tear up again. I just love, that's my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, because like, don't you like legitimately do that all the time for work?
Yeah, my job is literally taking song requests with a band, playing stuff by ear. So we're sharing in memories people have with those songs on stage all night.
So fun. I love that.
Yeah.
You know, a scene that made me cry, and we won't get into it in case there are other things that like are before it that you wanted to speak on, but it's when he almost confesses.
Yeah. Yeah, same. No, that's what I have next.
Okay, yeah. Okay, same wavelength per usual.
Yes.
So, oh my gosh. So, in this scene, guys, we find out in order to get Shizuku's attention, he checked out books. And the thing about it is that he had to, like, at least be by her enough to see the types of books that she was checking out in order to be able to know, okay, she might get this book next. She might get this other book next. And so he would check out all of these books just so that he would get her attention through his name before they even started talking to each other. So first we get hit with that, and I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh my God. Like,
ooh. My heart.
Like, I was just like, okay, I'm tearing up a little bit, but I'm a soldier. Like, I'm gonna hold this shit in. It's fine. Like, it's fine. Or whatever. And then you can see that she's like, emotional and everything, and I'm emotional, and he's just like, I wish I could have said something beforehand, because he's like, oh, I'm about to go to Italy for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So I can learn how to be this violin me. So at that point, I'm just like, what type of, like, why did you even tell her? Because somebody telling me that, like, you went so far just to get my attention to then turn around to say, well, I'm about to be out of the country for like years. I wish I would have said something. Oh my gosh. So her class were being like assholes, and they like were listening in to their conversation, and they fall through the door and she goes over there to yell at them, and they're all laughing and thinking, oh, it's funny, it's jokes. But then she like started crying. At that point, I was done.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, oh God, I'm crying because she's crying because how? And like, the thing is, like, he didn't get to finish his confession. We knew he was leading up to say like, oh, that he likes her, because who does that sort of thing and doesn't say that he likes her? I think he would have said it too if those people didn't fall through the door.
Right. I mean, we'll get to the classmates for sure.
Right.
Like, one of the things he says to her in that conversation is, I'll sing your song to myself in Italy. And I lost it. Oh my God. That's so sweet and cute. And oh, my entire heart exploded.
I was just crying. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this romance and like just long distance is so hard, y'all.
From experience, it is extremely difficult, and both parties have to be so 1000% invested for it to work. Ugh.
Yeah, I say that from also experience from that tangent I told you about.
Yeah, but yes, yeah.
Long distance is so hard, and especially like when you're in the very beginning of it, right? That's when all of the feelings come, the rose-colored glasses, the wishes, the hopes, all of that, and you're feeling all of these emotions, and it's like they aren't near you. Like, it's like, yeah, you could say this shit over the phone, but it's like they aren't near you. Like, you can't share really in the joy of it. Mm-hmm. You have to like wait and like plan those things out. And for him to be going basically clean across the world to go learn how to make violins and stuff, I totally understood why Shizuku was devastated. Now, she started sort of going into that whole I'm not good enough for him thing, which was sad in and of itself, but long distance can be so painful. So I just understood exactly why she started crying, because I was crying too. This is like, wow, that's so beautiful. And now what, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I could actually, and so could you, like, we could put ourselves into her shoes. We knew exactly what she was feeling in that moment, in a way.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, maybe our long distance things were a little different and not someone going to Italy suddenly and like disappearing. But, you know, yeah. It was really heavy.
Yeah. And it's just kind of like, what do you even do now? You know, like I got it. And it's especially like when you just come to like somebody, it's just hard. So yeah. So that made me cry.
Mm-hmm. Another little point that made me cry, which is, again, probably just me, was when Grandpa Nishi gives Shizuku permission to make the Baron the hero of her story.
Oh, yeah.
He says, yeah, he says, on one condition, only if you let me be the first person to read it. And I'm like, my lonely artist is showing. Like, I would love it if someone was like, let me be the first person to hear a song when you get the first draft done, or like, let me be the first person to read your novel when you finish the next draft. Like, those kinds of things mean so much, because I put myself and like my soul into everything I make. And then when someone's like, I care about this, I care about you, I care about your art, I want to consume it, it means everything. So I was like, I think I full on started crying.
I mean, I feel like I got really emotional as well when he said that he wanted to be the first person to like read it. And then especially when you find out that the like Baron and Louise are really just his personals. Oh. Oh my gosh, I was so fucked up. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait, what about Louise? Wait.
Me too.
Like, you know, and so it's as if he wants to read like a happy ending for his own story.
Oh my God, that just, I felt that through my chest just now. Oh.
Right. He wants to read a happy ending of his love story with Louise through Shizuku, and I'm just like, Wow. Okay.
Just totally gone at that point.
I was just like, feelings like shit. Oh my gosh, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm not crying today.
I guess apart from that, the last thing I have is when he gifts the stone with the lapis lazuli in it to Shizuku after he had compared her and Seiji to the stone so that she can keep it with her and continue to be inspired and believe in herself. That really made me tear up.
The emerald, though, the geode, it had an emerald inside, wasn't it?
Was it different? I thought it was the same stone.
I thought she looked up lapis lazuli, but then the geode itself had an emerald inside of it. I might be making that up.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. I thought it was all just lapis lazuli.
Right. But regardless, very emotional. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you giving her gems? Welcome to the family.
Like, yes. Oh, I was like, what a sweet grandfather.
Right. Yo, just all of the feelings. He is always giving them such enriching lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he says, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it connects to something. Like, it means something. I love that so much.
Yeah, he's so wise and loving and caring.
Yeah. So in the story, we learn that Shizuku's sister, Shiho, she finished doing her college or whatever. And this is just at a time when they are talking, like, Shio is talking to their mom. And so she's just like, oh, you know, I want to move out. I've saved up money. And then the mom is just like, oh, well, you know, as soon as I'm, like, done with school, like, you know, I'll send some money over to help you out. And I know that that's not really, like, it might not be a big deal for y'all, but it's just, like, the fact that their parents are, like, godsends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that she wanted to move out and she saved that money, and then the mom's just like, oh, okay, I see this is what you want to do. And she only had a part-time job meanwhile, which I'm just but anyway, had this part-time job. She's just like, well, when I'm done, I'll make sure to send money to help you out. I thought that was so nice. And so I got a little teary-eyed. Not full, like, drip, y'all, but a little teary-eyed.
Yeah, their parents are such incredible human beings. They set such a wonderful example of, like, that balance between being a parent and getting done the things that have to get done and disciplining a little bit, but also giving your children the space to be themselves. I just love them.
I love them so much. And that, like, sort of leads me to my next Rocky Road point, which is also still about her parents. It's a little conjunction, though. So it's after the mom comes back from, like, the parent-teacher conference and finds out that, like, Shizuku is failing like shit in her classes because she's writing a story. And Shiho's just like, you need to get your head together. Like, you can't go to high school if you don't do better and da-da-da-da. And her parents just accept her, just like, if this is something that you want to do, okay, you know, like, I know how dedicated you are, you're always, like, in the library looking at something, and if this is what you want, okay, but just know, like, it's not going to be easy, and if you fail at it, then you don't have anyone else to blame but yourself. But they just accepted her. And so to see that was just, I was like, I started sobbing because that's just, I wish, and it's not to say that my parents aren't supportive of me, but there were definitely times when I was growing up, and maybe it's like, I feel like this is universal. It doesn't have to just be like an immigrant parent thing where it's like, they want you to have some sort of life path because it's guaranteed money and stuff. So you should study to do such and such. And so I never fully allowed myself to be straight up creative. So when I was growing up, oh, I thought I'm going to be a lawyer. And instead of just being a lawyer by itself, it's like, oh, but I also want to write books. I want to be like a romance author. So I wanted to be like Lauren Willick. I think I said that in the last episode. But anyway, regardless, it's like, I want to be like her because she went to law school and she got to do this thing, but then she's also got to be a romance author. And that's what I thought I wanted to do. And then I think there was one point when I was upset and I was really young, and this was before me talking about that lawyer shit. And guys, obviously I'm a social media manager. That didn't pan out. But when I was really young, I wanted to be a librarian. And then I'm pretty sure that that got rejected and I was very upset about it. And so, like, when I saw Shizuku's parents accept her, like, straight on at such a young age, it just reminded me of how much that would have meant to me. Like, what would my life have been like if when I first talked about being a librarian, that they were just like, oh yeah, like go do that or whatever. Like if I had gotten that sort of acceptance. And so that ended up making me cry.
Oh yeah. I could imagine like seeing it through that lens. Of course, like getting emotional in that moment. I mean, being a musician, I'm not going to say I didn't have pushback from family, especially when in my late teens, like right before my 20s, there was a lot of tension around career path and personal journey and stuff like that. So I'm honestly surprised that I didn't have the same reaction.
It made me cry, but then also at the same time, I think I noted this in our last episode that wasn't really realistic.
Right. No, that is true. Maybe I was like just vibing on the unrealisticness of it all. That's a word now, unrealisticness.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and not to say that parents can't be supportive, but the fact that she was in middle school, going to high school and like failing, like it made me cry because I would love to have that acceptance. But in the same breath, it's like, that's not real life. Like failing out of like middle school, like what? Like, no, you can't do that. So
no.
Yeah. So I don't blame me for not being connected at that point. I think, like I said, in conjunction, still on her parents, was like, so she finishes the book, she goes to Grandpa Nishi to give him the book, she comes back home, and then she just announces to her mom that she's going to be going to high school, and then she's so exhausted because she had been using all of her might and her, like, forces and whatever just to get this story out, and she's done. She falls asleep, and her dad comes into the room, and he calls her, he's like, my little warrior.
Oh.
And like goes and puts the blanket on her. And I was just like, oh my gosh, because I'm a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so sweet.
Yeah, that was very sweet. I am a girl who loves her dad very, very much. So yeah, just thinking about it, actually, I could tear up.
Yeah, because it was just like, and I mean, I think it's also because of the fact that Shiho wasn't there. So it's not like Shiho's going to go and turn off the light or do whatever. Mm-hmm. But just them being supportive and then him even being encouraging when she's not coherent about it. I just loved it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a special bond there.
Yeah. And then the last thing that I have. So Seiji, as soon as he gets back from Italy, rides his bike over to her house. And it's got to be like 4 or 5 in the morning, y'all, because the sun's not out. I'm assuming. I don't know the sunrise times in Japan. But 4 or 5 in the morning. And Shizuku had woken up because I guess, like, you know, I don't know what time she got home necessarily, but you know, if you fall asleep too early, then you'll end up waking up really early. Although I do think she probably got a full 8 hours, but who knows? So she wakes up, looks out the window, and he's just there. And they're looking at each other, and I'm just like, wow, okay, this is romantic. It kind of reminds me, I don't remember which episode I talked about this, where I said, oh, when I like somebody, I could just tell when they're in the room.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
So it reminded me of that. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is cute. This is romantic. And so then she like comes down and like goes off with him on this bike. And I was just like, y'all have way too much freedom because you are still in middle school.
Yeah. Like, how old are you? Yeah.
Right. You are in middle school, girl. Like, what? You didn't even tell your parents where you were going? Like,
no note. Like, no note. Kagon.
Nothing. Runs out, she gets on his bike, and so while they're riding his bike to his favorite spot or whatever, he tells her, he's like, we must be meant for each other, Shizuku. And I was like, oh my god, that is so romantic, because, you know, I was still going off of that whole, oh, she knows that he's like in the same space as her, they look at each other at the same time.
Mm.
Compartmentalizing the fact that it's just like, girl, you really left without telling your parents, like,
oh, right,
all that other stuff. But yes, and so that made me tear up a little bit because I was just like, oh, like, what's that feel like to have somebody tell you that, you know, like, wow.
That's so sweet. Yeah. And that also reminds me, like, going back to us having experiences with long distance relationships, a like daydream I would have would be my partner kind of just showing up at my door randomly. So him showing up early from Italy to see her like that kind of makes me think think of that.
Yeah. It just reminds you of like hopes and dreams and, yeah. You know, I mean, part of Shoujo Sundays, maybe having the shoujo feels. But for me, I'm still sort of waiting on finding that person that like I don't need to translate myself to, you know, mm-hmm. that sort of just gets that, like, you know, Chika might want to see me right now. Or you mentioned this in conversation and I saw it at the store, so I got it for you.
Oh, little things. Like someone who really notices the little things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still waiting for that, but I was glad to see that Shizuku was able to get that with Seiji.
Yeah. Do you want to move into hot fudge?
I don't have hot fudge, guys, for the first time in a long time.
Wow, I have hot fudge and you don't. What is this?
Hey, oh my gosh, it's like opposite day. It's April Fool's Day, but early.
Like 6 months early. Oh my God. Well, I guess I'll get into my hot fudge then.
Yes.
Okay, I'm like, do I sound like an old lady if I say I'm against Seiji skipping high school to make violins? I just think that's something he can do after high school. I can't remember if we touched on this last week, but I don't know. It just seems like he could have a high school experience and then get to the violin thing.
Right. I feel like, you know what? I think that we sort of did talk about it a little bit in the last episode, just that how unrealistic these plans are in relation to where they are in school.
Yeah. I think I explicitly said, because my other point is like crossed out here, meaning we talked about it last week, that the story should have just taken place when they were older, like at the end of high school and not the end of middle school, because it would make so much more sense.
It would make so much more sense. The fact that he's able to carve out violins and he's in middle school, like, what type of middle school boy? And I know that, you know, like, it was a different time. It was the 80s. Maybe they were more enterprising back then. But a middle school boy carving out violins, what? Like, you want me to suspend disbelief?
Yeah, it's definitely a very unique, specific hobby.
Right. And then he's just like, oh, well, you know, I want to go over there. And I'm just like, what type of parent would allow you to just do middle school and then that's it? Like, you need to finish the rest.
Yeah.
You need to finish the rest of your public education. Then you could do whatever you want. But yeah, I totally get you on that. Because I couldn't imagine having a middle school age or even just thinking about myself. It's one thing if, like, you know, they do, what is it? The semester abroad things when they're in middle school. I think they sort of start that.
In middle school? Really?
Right. Well, or at least like the, you know, the exchange students, like that sort of starts in middle school, I think.
I don't know much about that.
When I was in middle school, I think there were like at least two different students that came from different places. One girl came from like Russia and then somebody else came from, I don't know if they came from Japan. They came from somewhere and then they were just around for the semester, which I think is a lot. Anyway, let's not get it. More tangents.
That's a can of worms.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, I could never really imagine sending off my child that's not even an adult yet, even if you have a lot of money, sending off my child to another country that's far away from me to learn how to do a skill and like you don't have the rest of your education. Like, okay, so you learn how to make violins, but don't you need to go to business school so you can learn how to run your violin business, which that would entail college. So like,
right, there's so many layers here.
So many layers, so many things to consider that it's just like, it's very hard to suspend disbelief with Seiji.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess we can get on into I Scream, You Scream now.
Oh, okay, that was it? I thought, okay.
Yeah, no, that was it. It was just Seiji's violin making and that the story should have taken place at the end of high school.
Right, yeah. No, I fully agree.
Yeah, so we can get right into I Scream, You Scream. And the first thing that made me literally internally scream in this movie was the sight of how cluttered Shizuku's apartment is.
Seeing how cluttered their house was, it just reminded me of Hoarders, except without like all of the nasty stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot watch Hoarders for real, guys.
No, it's stressful.
My skin will literally crawl.
Yeah.
I will scream. I can't do it. So just seeing like this cleaner version of it, I didn't understand. Like, first off, the dad's a librarian. Why do you have so many books in your house? You could just have it at your job.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not against a bookcase or whatever. Or even if you have a library, have a house to have your library in. But an apartment? How will you ever move out? What if you have to move out?
Oh my gosh, imagining them having to pack all of that up. Oh no. Hopefully they'd hire someone for that.
I would literally cry. I could not. There's too many things going on.
Yeah, it was way more chaos than I could personally handle in my living space.
Right, because it's like, first off, so the sister, before the sister moved out, it's like, y'all are just living on twin beds.
Ooh, bunk beds.
Twin bunk beds.
Oh my god. Upgrading from a twin bed was my first, like, adult purchase I ever made, was the mattress that I have, and it was the best decision I ever made. Get off of your twin beds, guys. Never go back.
I could never go back. I think I got a full bed when we moved. Yeah, so when we moved for like middle school. And then I was just like, I can never go back. Right. Twin beds, I would fall off and die.
I do not want to admit how long I slept on a twin bed because my parents were not about to upgrade my mattress. So I did it myself. And it was the most powerful feeling to be like, I just increased the quality of my life so much. I adore my mattress. It is the best thing I own. Like, that is a worthy investment.
Is it a queen?
It's a full. I'm tiny, so I didn't get a queen.
Yeah, I love the space.
Yes.
It just feels so much better. Now, I think the only reason why I got it was because it was like a traumatizing move. All my sisters grew up in the area that like we were leaving, and that was leaving friends. And then it was just like, here's this guilt buy of this bed to make you feel better. But yeah, could never do that. But oh my gosh, they slept on twin bunk beds. She had to be asleep at a certain time, and which is like sort of unrealistic in that it's like y'all have to go to sleep at the same time. Oh my gosh, at her big
yeah.
age. I'm not surprised that she moved out.
And good on her for like, I guess, not complaining about it. That's probably the only time I'm going to compliment Shiho, but yeah.
Yeah, and like cleaning. Oh my gosh, poor Shiho had to go and clean because both of their parents and her sisters scatterbrained. Lord.
Yeah, I want to feel for Shiho. I do. But I don't know. I think I was just connecting so much with Shizuku that I was just so annoyed on her behalf. The fact that Shizuku was asleep and Shiho starts vacuuming and wakes her up. Waking me up is like, guys, we're making an Oran reference. Waking me up is like waking up honey. Like, don't fucking do it. Like, I hate it so much. So just watching Shiho like crank that vacuum while Shizuku is sleeping, it's like the biggest no-no. I just didn't like how much of a nag she was. Like, Shizuku is a middle school kid, and I know that helping out at home is good, but I feel like the constant negativity and nagging for her to do more and more was too much.
I think the only reason why I could sort of resonate with her is because I have older sisters. Not that, well, they're all right. So I have older sisters. And so, like, I think when you have a younger sibling, and I say this as the youngest sibling, you kind of get put in this space of having to take on added responsibility. Like, you can't just be a teenager even though you want to be. You have to sort of be like a pseudo parent at the same time and be like looking out for her. So that is the only thing, that's the only thing I would really give Shiho, because it's like I said, my sisters are all right. But like, I feel like her nagging and doing all that stuff, like her waking her up, I totally feel that. And I just say that as somebody with like pretty bad insomnia.
Yeah.
If you wake me up, however you get me, that is your own fault.
Yes.
However I react to you is your own fault. Whatever I say, I'd like, you can't hold it against me because of how hard it is for me to go to sleep. Y'all, like the amount of things that I have to take to literally put me down to sleep, and then I get woke. Oh no. No.
Absolutely not.
There will be hell to pay, and they will be paying
it. Yeah. This reminds me of one time, and the fact that I remember this goes to show how angry I was. I was definitely, like, in middle school. I was Shizuku's age. My dad must have asked my brother, who's 2 years older than me, to wake me up for school or something, and he comes in and he fucking turns my light on. Like, he doesn't say anything. He just turns my light on. And if there was a way to start me off on the wrong dog foot for the day. It's like, wake me up by just shining a light in my face. I was so angry.
Oh my gosh, that just, you just unlocked a memory, guys. Y'all, I have depression. Well, I told y'all I had like depression anxiety. Depression fog, so I forget memories. This just reminded me when I was like younger and my dad would have to wake me up for school. He used to pull the covers off of me.
No!
Right, no wonder I got violent. So once I got insomnia. I'm not surprised. Okay, he would pull them off of me, and then I just was like, I am literally getting sick because you do this.
Oh my god,
stop doing that. Which he did stop.
Guys, I mean, my personal advice, I don't have kids, not super in the plans for me, is a gentle, hey, sweetie, tap on the shoulder. It's time to wake up. Maybe gradually get a little bit louder if they're not responding.
Right.
That's the gentle way. There's no ripping things off, shining lights on, vacuuming. Oh my god, yeah. Anyway, we can move on. I'm sorry. Right, I'm just getting, okay. Like, ranty now.
Right, yeah. Unlocked a memory. Like, ooh, child. But anyway, so moral of the story, be nice when you're waking people up.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise, whatever happens to you is your fault.
Yeah, so. Accept the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
So, okay, one thing that made me scream was Yuko deciding to skip school because she was embarrassed about a boy problem.
And it was a test. I'm like, girl, if you don't get over that shit,
yeah.
He does not care. Like...
No, he is not worth your grades, sweetheart.
Right.
Honestly, her response to the situation, and again, I don't want to give too much credit to a middle schooler for communicating maturely, but Sugimura was just asking about the note that his friend wrote, and she just goes like, why you of all people? Like, that was definitely not a smart response if she's trying to hide her feelings.
Right. Like, and the thing about it for me is just, he is so stupid, he didn't even realize. Like, she really could have played that shit off and still done her test.
Yeah.
And it's also middle school, right? So unless, what did you tell your parents to get out of going to school? Because I certainly could have been like, I'm not going to school because I'm embarrassed. Like, nah. My parents would be like, fuck that. You're going to school.
Yeah, like, nice try.
Right. I don't know, girl. Like, I thought that was stupid, too.
Yeah.
Shizuku never studying.
Just never. Head in the clouds.
I could have screamed about it because it's just like, girl, why do you keep leaving, like, your grades up to fate? Fate's not gonna help you. Girl, just study.
I know. Like, you can be both. I was both. It wasn't good, but I wrote a whole manuscript in class mostly, and I was an honors student. Yeah. Like, you can do both. I was, like, in 10th grade, and I was also writing, like, fan fictions in class, and I mean, like, so maybe my chemistry score was, like, the minimum it could be to make honors, but I still did the thing. Like, you can do both, Shizuku.
Right, and I think, you know what, actually, that low-key leads me to something else. I just think, and this is just sort of starting to touch on Seiji. We'll get to the end of the film later. But this made me scream in that the fact that she didn't think she was worthy of him. So she decided, I'm going to write this story, and somehow writing this story is going to make me worthy of going out with somebody that liked me for how many months to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're changing your life trajectory just to be worthy of somebody in 2 months and just fuck school, fuck all of that. I have to write this story. And I'm not saying that she couldn't write this story, but the fact that it's like she almost got to the brink of like, you're about to flunk out, writes this story, then she's like, oh, I'm gonna decide to go to high school. And it's like, you're deciding to go to high school, but you literally like fucked yourself over. What school are you going to get into? Like, you can get into a school, but you could have gotten to an even better one if she had just been studying the entire fucking time. And the thing about it for me is that I'm not saying people can't have goals within relationships, right? Or that you can be in a relationship and you're both working towards something. But I really wish that we had seen Shizuku have a conversation, not just with Grandpa Nishi, but like with her literal mom, maybe not Shiho, but her mom, to tell her about what's going on so that they could have set her straight, because her feeling unworthy, I never understood that. I know I mentioned that in the first part. I didn't understand where this level of angst, like, I'm not saying middle school kids don't have angst, but the level of angst and doubt, I really wanted to get where it came from. Even if Shiho's being an asshole, it wouldn't be that, like, low. You know what I'm saying? And to use somebody else's, like, time period as an estimation for yourself and how you can be a good partner to this person, you aren't even doing the same shit, and you literally almost ruined your chances into getting to high school to prove what point. Like, what was the point? I heavily dislike that.
Yeah, it's like, I'm torn because I want to take the movie for what it is and see it as her being inspired by someone who knows what he is, what he wants, and has a clear goal in sight. And then she wants to have that too, so that she can not feel inferior in that way.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know, he liked her for who she was to begin with. So Right. She didn't have to put herself through that so rigorously.
Right.
Like, she could have just had a goal of writing a story and she could have taken her time with it and not blown her opportunities for getting into better high schools out of the water. So I guess that's maybe more Banana Split for me, because she could have handled it way better, but I absolutely see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it in the sense, because I compartmentalize. I understand it. She's inspired by how passionate he is about his own goal. Fully get that. I would even understand wanting something like that for myself and questioning the next step. And that's sort of like the theme within the story of, like, finding what your path is, the less taken path, going back to country roads and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I could not understand. Like, I'm just never going to be that girl of, I'm going to change my entire future for a man. Or a partner.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a no-go for everyone listening, right? To. I hope that is not something you're considering.
Please do not change your entire career trajectory, your academic journey, anything else for a partner. You need to be doing that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, she was technically doing it for herself, but at the same time, that inherent thing of, I want to be good enough for him, she was crying in front of Grandpa Nish. And meanwhile, it's like, I mean, yes, he's a nice old man, but granted, how long have you known this man? It's not like he can go and hug her at that point. That's why I wish that she had talked about her feelings to, like, her mom, and not just, like, Yuko, you know, but to her mom, just so that her mom can articulate that, like, yes, you can have a goal in mind, but you don't need to change things about yourself in order to be in a relationship. Because if you have to do that, you shouldn't be in that relationship. You should just go in as yourself. And he loved her, or liked her, whatever, as herself. And so it's like, I get the journey, because she was finding out who she was through writing. It's just that I can never ascribe to anybody doing something like that for a partner, or, like, the biggest motivation within that is for a partner. I could never ascribe to that.
Yeah, I also really love the idea of her having a conversation with her mother about this, because we got to see how understanding and supportive her parents are, that I really think that would have been a super productive conversation for her.
Yeah. Fully understanding, love it all. Like, I think that they could have even got it in that, you know, the dad's a librarian. I'm sure you have to have a master's. At least over here, you have to have a master's to be a librarian. And, like, library science. There's something about it. I don't remember all of it, guys. Back when I wanted to do it, I was very young. But you have to at least have a master's over here to be, like, a full-on librarian, I believe. So the mom is working on her master's now. Now, I don't know. We don't find out what her degree is going to be in and what she's trying to do. But it's sort of similar to Shizuku's situation with Seiji, in that Seiji already knew what he wanted to do and was actively doing it. And Shizuku's dad is already doing the job that he wants to do. And her mom is taking classes or whatever, getting her master's in whatever it is, to eventually do whatever it is she wants to do. So technically, if you're looking at it from an academic standpoint, they aren't on the same level yet. yet, but she's personally working towards it.
Oh.
So I feel like that would have been like the perfect exact person you could talk to about what you're feeling. And then they would inherently understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And be able to like direct your thinking towards like what it should be.
Yeah. And that's such a cool observation that I completely missed, that their relationship kind of mirrors in a way Seiji's and Shizuku's. And it's kind of like foreshadowing in a way. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I loved little stuff like that so much.
Yeah. Meanwhile, guys, like, I know I'm like, I'll pat myself on the back. Like, I'm pretty good. I'm smart, you know?
Yes. But absolutely.
I totally worked through that just now. It's not like I did not write this out. I was like, started working that out while I was talking about it.
Those are the funnest realizations, though, the ones that just kind of happen while we're recording.
Yeah. Do you have another ice cream you scream before the end of the movie?
I have three, I guess, which would be my last three ice cream you screams, but I have a feeling I'm just going to piggyback off of your last one, too.
Yeah.
So it got to a point in the film where I just had to make this note. I'm like, okay, why hasn't Shizuku just asked this boy his name?
Right.
He lets her into the shop and she just doesn't address him as anything.
Right.
But he knows her full name. If she thought his name was Nishi, why didn't she call him Nishi-kun or something? Then he could have corrected her and she'd learn who he was so much sooner. It just seems like a little plot hole. I'm not like super mad about it, but it just seemed very convenient.
I was very much so over it in the sense that it was just like, do you know how many times this girl has had a fairy tale within this movie? She has had multiple fairies. Where is my fairy tale at, God?
Right. Like, I'm looking at my watch like, come on.
Okay. The library books.
Oh. Anyway, sorry, I just got lost in thinking about real life. Let's reel it back.
Yeah.
Apart from that, also, I mean, I guess we don't have to harp on this for too long, but like, the entire class had to make a fuss about a boy coming to visit Shizuku. And everyone's like, oh, you're going out. And it's like, I get it's supposed to be like over the top and funny, but Jesus Christ, they do not need to be in her business like that and follow her to the roof to watch. Like, give the girl some space. My goodness.
If I was gonna have a hot fudge, it would fucking be that. Y'all?
Yeah.
Some boy calls her over from this. I will get it. I will understand it. I don't really understand it, but okay, if it's like four of y'all bitches. But the whole damn class?
The entire class.
Where is the teacher? What?
Like, oh my God. The missing faculty continues.
Right. Where is the faculty? Where are y'all motherfuckers? Don't y'all see all these people walking up to the roof?
All right. There's no one stopping them from going on the roof.
Right. And they ruin the moment because he really could have told her at that point that he liked her.
Yeah.
And so I'm mad that all of that beauty in everything he was saying in that confession just... the heart of it, the soul of it, gets cut off because these bitches are nosy. Like, damn.
Yeah, yeah. So I just have one more ice cream you scream.
Okay.
And it's just how underwhelming their goodbye was when he was leaving to go to Italy.
What? Oh my gosh.
He like takes her hand and she's like, sorry, I'm always so depressing. I'll do my best when you're gone. And he replies, it's only 2 months. See you then. What?
You didn't ask her to write to you?
Right. There's no like, I'll miss you. I'll think of you every day. He didn't reiterate, I'll sing your song while I'm in Italy. Like, even if he just like hummed Country Roads when he was biking away, that would have been something.
Right.
It was just so underwhelming.
Like, he didn't even steal a kiss. It didn't even have to be like a full-on kiss, guys.
Right.
It could have been a forehead kiss.
Or her hand. He was holding her hand. He could have just like, mwah.
It was very underwhelming for me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all I had if you want to take it away.
Okay. So we're going to end this thing off with a bang. Low-key could have been hot fudge, but it's fine. So Seiji comes back, like we said earlier, from Italy. She runs out of this house, doesn't tell her parents where she's going, so Lord knows she could be kidnapped, but that's fine. Gets on this bike, wears the jacket, goes up to this spot, and he says, like, oh, like, we must be meant for each other. Ooh la la. Feelings, love, whatever. Whole nine. They're watching the sunset, and I guess they mutually sort of confess to each other. But the thing about it, what makes this hot fudge ice cream you scream, is that this bitch proposes.
Yeah. I was like,
y'all aren't even in high school.
Yeah. I was like, I want to allow myself to be swept up away in the magic of this moment, but I cannot. The realist in me cannot do it.
Middle school, y'all didn't even write to each other when y'all were gone for 2 months. And you're just thinking, I'm thinking, oh, okay, they're gonna confess. And it's like, yeah, let's start dating. Let's meet our goals. No, he just said, do you want to get married? Bitch, what?
I can imagine them at like me in sixth grade, middle school or whatever, at the roller skate rink, putting 25 cents in the machine with those like plastic hand painted rings and just like giving her one of those. Like, this is ridiculous.
No promise ring. I mean, if we're gonna get into the details, no promise ring, no ring pop, nothing. Just, you want to get married? Oh my God.
Ring pop?
Not even a ring. Man, at least that's something sweet. Like, damn, like just out of nowhere. And I'm just like, okay, listen, clearly money is no object for his family to just send his ass over to Italy just like that. Lodging, food, whatever. Fine. Okay. Why didn't he tell her to bring the fucking geode then? That shit has an emerald.
Not even like a single rose.
I cannot believe he went from not talking to this girl for 2 months to then I'm gonna show up in front of your house and then I'm gonna propose to you. No ring, no nothing, not even just a let's start dating, just I like you, let's get married, and y'all aren't in high school.
I just thought of something right now. Why? Okay, huge missed opportunity. Also, haven't rewatched Cat's Return. Same. Remember absolutely nothing about it, so maybe this is part of the plot of that. But they could have had him intern anywhere, right? It could have been Germany. He could have fucking brought back the other cat doll. And they just... Could you imagine? They missed that opportunity. How beautiful would that have been?
Oh my gosh, like if he told her, oh, bring Baron, you know, Baron needs to see this. And then he like somehow found Louise and like, they need to be together and so do we. Just,
God, we just fixed the ending of the movie.
Right.
You're welcome.
Or even if, at least if they were writing letters, it still would have been bullshit. But at least if they were communicating during that 2 months thing, right?
Yeah.
Then maybe this escalation would make slight sense of, oh, let's get married. But no. And no, Louise, that could have been a great addition to the story. Or like, I'm sorry, it took me out because they're in middle school.
Yeah, no, same, honestly.
Maybe if this was high school, still would have been bullshit. If it was high school and they talked during the 2 months, I would fully understand the marriage thing. I'd get it.
Yeah. I would still, like, be a little wary because it was, like, right, fresh after high school or whatever, but it wouldn't...
Right.
It wouldn't be, like, this strong of a negative response.
Right. I'm just so against it because it's just like, girl, you didn't even tell your parents you're leaving and now you come home engaged?
You come home like a nearly married woman.
Engaged?
Engaged.
They would have to... Oh, Shiho. Shiho, come over here.
Oh, Shiho? Okay, yeah. Shiho would set her straight.
Set her ass straight because I cannot, like, wow. But yeah, so, oh, and then slight moment. It's not really a hot fudge. It's more ice cream, you scream. Is the fact that we see Yuko and, oh my gosh, what was the boy's name?
Sugimura.
We see them sort of walking at like the top with the credits. And I'm just like, girl, she still didn't tell you that he liked her?
Yeah, I guess not. See, I kind of took that, I think I put that in my floats your boat because I was happy to see them hanging out. I don't know.
It is so icky. No. Okay. I don't need to like somebody and then find out years or whatever after the fact that he actually was fucking with my friend first. Like, not doing stuff, but that he liked my friend first. So what am I, like, second goods? Like, you had to take this long for you to notice, like, my qualities?
Yeah. I feel like I would, if I were her, always be comparing myself to her and feeling like the second choice.
Right. That's what makes it kind of a little disgusting to me, is just that Shizuku can be in this relationship. She's engaged to this violin man and he has only liked her. She does not have to experience that. But if Yuko and Sugimura get together, then they're gonna have that whole separate line of connection of knowing that he confessed to her and that she rejected him. And so it's like, what type of looks would that be like? Like, let's just say, envision it, hypothetical, they're getting married and everything, and like, what? Shizuku's like a bridesmaid and he's low-key looking at her? Oh, God, no.
I mean, I'd like to think that it having been a middle school thing, that if they were of the age of like getting married, that maybe it would have been like, haha, so funny, I like had a crush on you back in middle school.
True.
Like, I have like friends where it's like, oh my God, wasn't that so funny when we like had this weird crush thing on each other in like middle school? And it's like people I still cherish but don't think of in that way at all. And it's just, yeah, it's just normal.
Yeah. I would hope it would be different. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's just the soap opera in me, the General Hospital, the Days Before Our Lives,
Degrassi,
Young and Restless, right? Degrassi, right? All of those things. Let me stop speaking this telenovela into existence. So that was the last thing that I disliked.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that brings us to the end of our review of Whisper of the Heart. And despite all of our ice cream, you screams, I think it's safe for me to say for both of us that we really did enjoy this film.
Yeah, we did.
We love Studio Ghibli. I cannot wait to review more of their stuff. And like I said, this really makes me want to watch The Cat's Return because I don't really remember any details and I wonder if it'll like unlock memories.
I'm telling you guys, we might as well announce it now. Our next movie. Our next movie, there is like let's say there's like a 70% chance, because we might change our mind, but 70% chance it's gonna be Cat Returns. Okay.
Yeah, probably.
So we have to know how this ends. Like, is Louise in the next movie? Are Seiji and Shizuku like married or some shit? I know it's a new girl. I feel like it is. I don't remember shit, but still, like, we gotta know. We have to find out.
I gotta know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need the Baron back in my life.
For real, because the Baron was fine, okay? Fine. Like, me saying that about a cat is weird, but still.
I
it's because it was voiced by Cary Elwes, and I had, like, the biggest crush on him.
Oh, right. I was like, I don't know if I can jump in on this bit, but.
I'm telling, well, I mean, Cary Elwes, oh my gosh, The Princess Bride. So it's, like, hearing his voice, and then I'm just thinking, like, Princess Bride, Cary Elwes, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Y'all, I even watched that Mary Queen of Scots film he was in with, oh my gosh, Henrietta Bonnet Carter, the lady that was married to the Jim Henson guy. He's not Jim Henson, but he always does like the gothic films. He used to do that shit. He did Sweeney Todd. He directed it and she was in it with Johnny Depp and stuff. That Helena
Bonham Carter.
Yes, her. That's what I meant. Her.
Yes, yes. You said Sweeney Todd and it jogged my memory.
Yes, she was in the Mary Queen of Scots film with Cary Elwes and I was just like, oh my gosh. Because Cary Elwes back then, yo, I would have been a ho, ho, ho. Okay, anyway.
Oh my gosh.
But anyway.
On that note, if you're enjoying our banter, please be sure to follow us on your preferred podcast platform. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please, please, please leave us a 5-star review.
Yes.
It super, super helps people find the podcast. And, you know, the more 5-star reviews, the more people will think that we're likable. So,
yeah, and
please.
We need to be liked. We are doing, like, we are creating community, guys. Like,
we're doing our best.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
A shoujo safe haven. We need all the stars we can get. All of the 5 stars, guys.
All of the 5 stars, yes.
Yeah.
If you want to keep up with us during the week, you can honestly shoot us an email at shoujosundaypodcast@gmail.com, or you can follow us across social media at shoujosunday. If you want to keep up with me personally, I am Gianna Luna, and you can follow me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials. And how about you, Chica?
You guys can find me at Chica Supreme. That is Chica with a K and not 2 C's.
All right, guys, we will catch up with you next week with a brand new series we're reviewing.
Oh, yeah.
We will see you then.
See you.
Bye.